I'm reading now from Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, I'm going to begin reading with verse 9. Now, on the last broadcast, we did cover verses 9 and 10 and 11, but I want to begin reading with verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Let me back up just a moment. You will notice something here. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. You and I, together with every other born-again believer, blood-washed sinner down through the ages, will comprise what is referred to as the bride of Christ. Now, when he says, I will show thee the bride, John would normally expect, and you and I would expect, that we're going to be looking at an analog of a wife, a female, that would be suitable for marriage to the Lamb. However, the angel winds up instead showing John the New Jerusalem. You note that on the last broadcast I mentioned that it doesn't say that the New Jerusalem lands on the earth, and I also said there would be good reason for that, and we'll get to that in a moment. You will notice in verse 11, having the glory of God. What did? This city, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious. That is, in refractory quality, it was like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And we talked about that on the last broadcast. Now, you will notice it says, and it had a wall, great and high, had 12 gates, and the gates, at the gates, 12 angels. And names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. Now, it's a funny thing. It says the east. You may ask, why does it begin there? Why not the north or south or west? It always begins with the east. Why? Because in Hebrew, the word that is translated east also means front. You begin with the front of this city. So here we go. The front of the city, the east, has 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. I believe we could probably assume that these angels, these 12 angels, are, I suppose you might call them, gatekeepers. It's funny in a sense how common, the common herd will talk about St. Peter, and whether he let you in or not, and nothing is mentioned about Peter being a gatekeeper. You will notice, though, that there are 12 angels, 3 on a side, each assigned a gate on this quadrangle, 3 to a side. Now, it says the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Matthew, John, Peter, yeah, those fellas. Now, I want you to notice, you have the 12 tribes of the children of Israel mentioned in verse 12 as being on the gates. You have 12 foundations being named for the 12 apostles. Why is this? It is because here is a unity. This is a dwelling place for all of the people of God. Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, they're here. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. Now, somebody may ask, well, this idea of a city, isn't it just kind of symbolic? Well, I suppose you might want to reason that way, but people don't measure, angels don't measure a symbol, a figure of speech. And this thing certainly has dimensions. The city lieth foursquare. The length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth of, and the height of it are equal. Now what we have here is a cube. It is 12,000 furlongs to a side. It's 12,000 furlongs high. Now, that may not mean much to you until you put it more into common everyday terms. 12,000 furlongs is the equivalent of 1,500 miles. As he measures the city, it is 1,500 miles long, it is 1,500 miles wide, and it stands 1,500 miles tall in altitude. It's a perfect cube. Now, let me just throw this in for a freebie. You remember in the tabernacle, the innermost sanctuary in the tabernacle was a cube. You remember the Holy of Holies? The same is true also in the temple. It also, the Holy of Holies, was a cube. And now here, what those two predecessors had been pointing forward in time to, now John describes for us 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. This thing is gigantic. Remember, I told you it didn't land on the earth. Now, just for the sake of illustration, if this thing lit, let's say, on the United States, and let's say the eastern edge of it touched down on the east coast, it would stretch inland from the coast past the Mississippi River. Everything would be covered by this thing, from north to south and halfway across the country, 1,500 miles. And since it is 1,500 miles tall, we're talking here about something that would extend well out into space. How far do you have to go before you reach the edge of space? 10 miles? I'm not really sure. But we are well outside the atmosphere with 1,500 miles. A thing that big sitting on the surface of the earth would give a pronounced wobble that would shake the earth out of any stationary orbit, any set orbit. It comes down and, as it were, hovers, or, well, let's just simply say, it floats there above the earth. Now, he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Now, this wall, we are not given enough here really to get specific about this. 144 cubits, if we're dealing with a normal cubit of about 18 inches, then we'll be talking about a wall with a dimension of 216 feet. But it doesn't say which direction or what dimension that wall is. Is this how high the wall is? And if it's the height of the wall, it's certainly a puny wall in consideration of the gigantic size by proportion of the city that this wall surrounds. Now, certainly a wall 216 feet tall is kind of high, even by today's standards. But at the same time, you will notice it says, he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel. Of the angel that says, come here, I'll show you the bride. Now, there is absolutely no reason to assume that this angel is the same size as John. I suspect that because you've already seen John, I think twice before, falling down before these angels to worship them because they are so magnificent in their appearance, I suspect they're a good bit bigger than a normal human. And if that is going to affect the measure here, the measure of a cubit was normally from the tip of the middle finger to the point of the elbow, about 18 inches. If this angel is of gigantic form, we don't have a clue as to the dimension of this wall. Now, I was going to say we're not given really enough about this dimension to figure out, is this the height of the wall or the thickness of the wall? We don't know. Well, you can assume it's the height, but that is, please remember, an assumption. Now, he goes on in verse 18, and the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. This thing is unusual. We're talking about purity that exceeds anything that we can hypothesize or speculate about. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Now, you might say, okay, it's a foundation, and along the edges of it, it's encrusted with jewels. But that's not the implication of the Greek, but rather this entire foundation, the foundations of the wall of the city. Now, this is of the city itself, not the wall that surrounds the city. Now, the entire foundation is a gemstone. I've got some information here. Let's look at this. First foundation was jasper. Jasper is a deep reddish quartz, silicon dioxide. You'll notice the second is sapphire. Sapphire is a deep blue corundum. If it's red, it would be a ruby, but this is blue, so it's sapphire. Chalcedony is usually pale blue. Emerald is a bright green beryl. Sardonyx is a banded sard and carnelian quartz. Sardis is kind of a brownish red quartz. The seventh one is a chrysolite. That's the old name for goldstone. But the more they've studied it, the more they've come up with it. It might be a peridot. I don't know how to pronounce that, frankly. I don't know if it's a peridot or a peridot. Take your pick. It's a pale green stone. Beryl, number eight, the eighth foundation. Beryl is aquamarine. That is, it's a sea blue variety, a beryllium aluminum silicate. Number nine is topaz. Now, an imperial topaz is usually a warm yellow. Number 10 is chrysoprase. It's a kind of an apple green chalcedony. Jacinth is a deep blue stone, probably like lapis lazuli. This is a freebie also. The finest in the world today comes from Afghanistan. And the 12th foundation is amethyst. It has a deep purple quartz. As I look at the clock, we've finished 12 foundations, and we've also finished the time for today. I hope you'll join me as we continue our study. Next time, Revelation 21, verse 21. Join me then.